Good morning, everyone. You sound a little bit like I feel. Should we try that again? Good morning. I woke up this morning to find the exit from my estate blocked. That's because I'd completely forgotten it was Milton Keynes Marathon Day. And as somebody who's going to run the London Marathon next year, obviously, so I got a little bit delayed, but it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. A significant weekend in that Bristol City made the playoffs, so I'm feeling very excited this weekend. Thank goodness for that. I think most of you know that I work with an organisation called Outreach UK. Our latest magazine is on the table at the back. Please do take one of these. You'll read lots of stories of lots of evangelists all over the country who are doing amazing work with the help of God and seeing great results as well. So please do have a look at that. We've now actually got our own YouTube channel. So if any of you are on YouTube, you can have a look at that. There is a little leaflet there that you'll find on the table as well, explaining that Outreach UK currently, we've got a little bit of a financial situation, and we do need and value your prayers. So a little bit of an update as to where the mission is at. So it's great to represent Outreach UK, and it's great to be able to share with you our latest news. Please do take some away with you. I also just want to very briefly share with you this morning. Can we get the PowerPoint up, please? Thank you. Here it comes. I want to share with you briefly this morning, before we get into the subject, something else that I'm involved in. About a year ago, just over a year ago, some friends of mine who live in Hull caught a vision from the Lord. And the vision was, and they came to me with this vision, they came to my friend Steve Legg, who sadly passed away in recent times. They came to us with this vision and they said, "We feel the Lord is calling us to start a brand new Christian radio station." Now, I don't know how many of you listen to the radio, but if you do, I want to recommend this radio station to you. And I want to recommend it to you for a number of reasons. They came to us and they said, "What we want is a radio station that will bless Christians, but will also be attractive for non-Christians, for people who don't believe in Jesus." And so we asked ourselves the question, we sat down together, and we asked ourselves the question, how do you get people who don't believe in Jesus, who don't go to church, to listen to a Christian radio station? And the answer which came back to us was fairly obvious. You play music that they're going to listen to. You play music that non-Christians are going to listen to. And long story short, Pure 247 Radio was born just over a year ago. Now, to date, we have around about 3,000 people listening on average every month. And that's remarkable for just being on air just over a year. But what do we do? Well, why is it called Pure? The reason is very simple. We play the latest pop music. We play classic pop music. We even have a heavy metal show for people who are into heavy metal. We play rock and roll, we play disco. In between those songs, we play Christian music. And all day, every day, 24 hours a day, there is Christian music and secular music being played. There are also interviews with Christians from different organisations on throughout the day as well. So that's really interesting. But the secular music, what we do is this. We appointed a team of people, and their job is to listen to the lyrics of every pop song. That's their job. To listen to the lyrics of every pop song. I don't know if you know, but there are about 20 new pop songs that come out every week in this country with different bands and different groups. And we've gone back to the classics as well, and the rock and roll of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever it may be. Every single song we play, this team of people have read the lyrics. And if there is anything dodgy in those lyrics, any blasphemy, any reference to drugs, any reference to sex, anything like that, we will not play that song. That's why we call ourselves Pure. We are just playing music that, if you've got children in the house, you wouldn't mind them listening to. There is nothing on the station that you wouldn't want your kids to hear. Now, it's a bit of a task And every now and again, the group up in Hull, where the station is based, they worry about a particular lyric. And so I get sent that lyric, and I have to make a little bit of a decision as to whether we play it or not. It can be borderline sometimes. But that's why we call ourselves Pure. The station is aimed at families. So Sunday afternoon is a family show, breakfast show, drive-home show, heavy metal show, pop show, Pure Christian music show on a Sunday morning. I've been listening coming down here this morning, an hour and a half's drive from Milton Keynes, to nothing but Christian music, the latest Christian music being played on the radio. There is an app. There is a website. You can say to your smart speaker, Alexa, please play Pure 247 Radio, and it will. All the details are there. There are some leaflets on the table at the back. I'd love for you to take one. I'd love for you to take one. Because this is a fantastic... And I'm not just saying this because I'm on every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm just saying this because it is a fantastic radio station. It is a brilliant radio station. And we are reaching out, not just to blessed Christians. We are reaching out and saying to families, to non-Christians, if you want a radio station, if you want to listen to music that's not going to be offensive in any way whatsoever, but it's going to be pure and it's going to be positive, tune in to us. In addition, this year, we decided that we would take a bit of a risk, because finances are not great, but we decided we would take a bit of a risk and launch a magazine to accompany the station, a monthly magazine. Not just, and we said, if you're going to do a magazine, it's not just got to be, you know, like a parish magazine or something like a bit of cardboard or an odd bit of paper. We've got to do this properly. And so here is the April edition of our magazine. Article after article, incredibly well produced, high quality paper. I've got two articles in here. We are producing this magazine. Now, there are some there are only two copies available at the back. If you want to buy one, they are £8. We've got to pay for the cost. But the good news is, you can read this free online. And the next edition goes online on Friday. So I just wanted to highlight this because Andy, who is the CEO, a guy called Andy Berry, who is my great friend, Andy has been in hospital this past week with heart problems. But I also wanted to highlight it because he needs our prayers, but I also wanted to highlight it because if you have got the radio on at home, why not tune in to a Christian radio station? Some of the music may not be to your taste. Some of it will be, I guarantee it. And why not encourage others to tune in? Why not pick up one of these leaflets, pin it to the church notice board, drop it round to a neighbour and say, hey, if you've got the radio on, I've heard of this great new radio station that's playing great music. And if they've got children, there will be, we guarantee, we absolutely 100% guarantee there will be nothing. There will be nothing that they would not want their children to hear, okay? Every single lyric is checked. So that's something that I am also involved with now very heavily. I have just become I'm a trustee of this radio station, but I wanted to highlight it. I am on every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I review movies. Some of you know that I wrote a book about movies last year. I'm a bit obsessed with movies. I have 3,000 movies in my front room. I go to the cinema and see everything going. So I review movies at 8 o'clock on the breakfast show every Friday morning. But the station is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Christian radio, dear friends, be it Premier or UCB or whatever, is a great way of reaching out. It's a great way of reaching out. This is a great way of reaching out. Playing pure music that we know is not harmful, but is positive. And the Christian stuff that we play is only the very best as well. So thank you for letting me just take a moment. I mentioned Outreach UK, but thank you for letting me just take a moment to highlight that. Please take away one of the little leaflets. Please pass it on. Again, you can download the app. There is a QR code on a form back there that you can download the app. You can listen to us online. You can listen to us via your smart speaker. But we want this station to grow. We want this to become a massive thing in our country. We already have listeners in America. We have listeners in Australia that are tuning in to Pure. I can't recommend it highly enough. Okay, I'm excited about the possibilities of this station. In a year of being on the air, we have over 3,000 listeners already. Who knows what God can do? Who knows who God could reach in their kitchen, in their home, in their car, through this radio station? So I want to commend it to you. I want to get you listening to it. And it is always everyone's cup of tea. That's one of our jingles. But we are saying to people, whatever your musical taste, you will find something here that you will love. And it will be pure. It will be pure. So thank you for letting me share that with you. I hope that's of interest. Please take away one of the leaflets and have a look at the magazine. This morning, we're going to be thinking about one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's that time of the year when people are getting back out into their gardens. It's that time of the year when people are pruning and weeding and planting. And it's that time of the year when I'm sitting back and just letting my garden go to rot, because I hate gardening. I really don't like gardening. But I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit the other day. And as I was reading about the fruit of the Spirit, as I was praying about the fruit of the Spirit, as I was asking God to help me produce the fruit of the Spirit in my own life, this particular fruit seemed to come to the fore. And God seemed to say, do a little sermon on it, do a little talk on it, and bring it to the folk at South Coast. Before we do, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all the ways in which you give us to reach out to those who need Christ. We thank you for all the Outreach UK evangelists serving you around the country in evangelism. But Father God, we thank you also for radio. Today there will be Christian programs on TV, Songs of Praise will be on, and radio stations will be broadcasting the gospel. We pray for the work of Christian radio stations and ask that many will be reached through this means of the gospel. Thank you for Pure 247. Thank you for the vision that you gave to my friends a year ago. Thank you for the growth of the station. We pray for a blessing upon it. Be with us now in Jesus' name as we look at this particular subject, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I confess that this year I'm feeling a bit old. Now, I know I'm not old. I am 63. I know I don't look it. It's the hair. Okay, thank you very much. But I'm 63. But I've been thinking this year, the last few weeks, about the last few years. 40 years ago this year, I graduated from what was then called Moorlands Bible College. It's now today called Moorlands Bible College. In fact, I took that photograph of the college campus. You can see it's black and white. This is 40 years ago when I graduated. One of the things that happened during my last year at Moorlands Bible College, 40 years ago in 1985, one of the things that happened was this. A group of us were studying the topic of evangelism. There were six of us. We were studying the topic of evangelism as a little group, and we were majoring on that subject in our last year at college. And what was happening at the same time down in London was an evangelistic mission was taking place. Some of you will remember the name Louis Palau. He was the sort of Argentinian Billy Graham, if you like. And he had come to London, and he was preaching at Queen's Park Rangers Football Stadium. Now, I've been to Queen's Park Rangers Football Stadium a number of times to watch Bristol City wallop them. It's not the best ground in the world, but it does hold a large number of people. Okay. And Louis Palau was doing a mission at Queen's Park Rangers Football Stadium. It was called Mission London. And the six of us at Moorlands Bible College, who were studying evangelism, were invited to go for a behind-the-scenes tour of Mission London at Queen's Park Rangers Football Stadium. We were given a full tour. In fact, I got up to the lectern in the middle of the afternoon and started preaching to an empty stadium. Always dreamed of preaching to a full stadium, but I got up and preached to an empty stadium, and some of my fellow students, that you can see there in the picture, they came forward in repentance, I was glad to say, bowing their heads and kneeling before the platform. But we were shown behind the scenes. We were shown what happens when a big evangelist like Billy Graham comes to a football stadium. We were shown what needed to be done academically. We were shown what the work that needs to be done. We were given a complete behind-the-scenes tour. And then we were told we were going to have platform seats. And then we were told something even better. We were told that we were going to be given an hour with the great man himself. We were going to be ushered into an office. Louis Palau himself was going to be there, this famous evangelist who was about to preach to 20, 30,000 people in that stadium, and we were going to spend an hour with him. And so it was that we walked into the manager's office at Queen's Park Rangers Football Ground, we sat down, and in came Louis Palau. Thing was, I happened to be sat closest to him, and we spent an hour asking him questions about what it's like to be an evangelist, about the priorities of the gospel, about how he prepares his sermons. We spent an hour talking to this great man who was about to go out and preach from that place, that platform, to 30,000 people. Towards the end of the time, he did something that made my fellow students smirk. He did something that made them smile. As I said, I happened to be sat closest to him. He reached out and he put his arm around me. And he said some words that made them smile, but words that I have never forgotten. He said this: "There is only one thing God asks of you in your ministry, young people. Be faithful. Be faithful in your ministry." And this was the bit that made them smile because he had his arm around me. "Be faithful unto death." Be faithful unto death. The only thing that God asks of you, young people, in your ministry is that you be faithful. Paul very clearly identifies faithfulness as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Paul very clearly identifies faithfulness as something that every single Christian should be producing. Now, I know that there are days, both individually, personally, and in the life of a church, when it's hard to be faithful. Problems come, difficulties come. Questions arise in our minds as to why this has happened or that has happened in our church or in our lives. And God calls us through on all to be faithful. I looked up a definition of the word faithful. In short, faithful people are people who are worthy of faith. Just consider that statement for a moment. Faithful people are people who are worthy of faith. They are committed and show that commitment through thick and thin. Can I just say to you this morning, I know as a church that you've been through difficult times recently. Maybe some of you as individuals have been through difficult times recently. The only thing God is asking of you is faithfulness through thick and thin. Stick with him. Stick with God. He knows what he's doing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going. And some days as Christians, it's a matter of just keeping going one day at a time. My friend who runs that radio station, as I said, has recently had heart problems. I was talking with him yesterday and we were discussing the fact that God doesn't call us to live for next week. God calls us to live for today. One day at a time. Faithful people are people who show their commitment to God through thick and thin. You don't give up, you don't give in. You don't say, "Well, here's a hurdle, I'm not going to jump it." You just keep going. This is the definition of faithfulness. It's similar to the English word, the Greek word. It focuses on the response that faithfulness brings. I need to show to the Lord. I need to prove to the Lord, if he's going to continue to use me, that I'm willing to be faithful to him no matter what. Does the Lord know he can depend on you? That's the question at the heart of this. Does the Lord know he can depend on you? And you won't give up and you won't give in just because the way's getting a little bit rough and the way's getting a little bit difficult and the problems are mounting. Does the Lord know he can depend on you? I can depend on him. Oh, I know that. I know the promises of Scripture. I know that God has promised to meet my every need. I know I can depend on the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful position to be in, to be a Christian. And to have a God and a Lord and a friend that I can depend on. But sometimes he comes back to me. And he says, "Andy, this is going to happen. That's happened. The other's happened. Can I depend on you? When the storms arise, can I depend on you? Am I trusting God? When the storm comes, when the wind blows, can I depend on you? Are you dependable?" Peter thought he was dependable. But so many times Peter lets the Lord down. He takes the Lord, his eye off the Lord when he's in the midst of the storm. And then he goes on the night Jesus was betrayed to deny him. That's why Jesus asks Peter three times after his resurrection, Peter, do you love me? I need to know I can depend on you. I need to know you're dependable. I need to know you love me. I need to know you're going to serve me. I need to know you're going to keep going. I need to know you're not going to give up and you're not going to give in. God is looking for dependable people. People who produce the fruit of the Spirit. That's one reason why I highlighted Hebrews chapter 11 for you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 is a remarkable chapter. We're going through the book of Hebrews in my home group at my church. I'm absolutely loving it. I think Hebrews is a collection of sermons, you know. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. If you look up the Romanian Bible, it will tell you, if you've got any Romanian friends, the Romanian Bible will tell you it's the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Well, we can't be sure. But I'm loving going through Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 tells the story of some of the great heroes of faith. It tells the story of Noah. It tells the story of Abraham. It tells the story of Joseph. It tells the story of David. It tells the story of the prophets. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Read the story of the hall of faith. Read the story of the great heroes of the faith. And you will notice they all have one characteristic in common. They were dependable. God could depend on them. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. God could depend on him to be obedient. Joseph, don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. He knew he could depend on Joseph. Esther, save your people. She's a dependable girl. I can depend on her. Moses, 40 years with the miserable so-and-sos wandering around the desert in Egypt when it should have taken 4 weeks to get to the promised land. I know I can depend on Moses. God is asking the question of us as Christians in this day and age. God is asking the question of his church in this day and age that he asked of the people in Hebrews 11, described in Hebrews 11, Noah, Abraham, the prophets, David, Joseph. Are you dependable? I'm dependable, says God. I'll provide all your needs. I'll do everything that you need to do. I'll start. I'll calm the storm. I'll do everything that you can ask of me, says God. All I'm asking of you is, can I depend on you to serve me, to keep the church going, to keep witnessing, to keep praying, to keep serving me, to keep telling other people about me? That's all God is asking of us. You know the reason why there's a church in Southcote this morning? You know why we're here? Because those early Christians and Christians down through the centuries proved themselves to be dependable. The only reason that there is a church here this morning, the only reason we're here worshipping Jesus Christ this morning, is because Christians down through the centuries were dependable and were faithful and kept going and one day brought the Christian message to Reading. Those early Christians that were thrown to the lions, those Christians that suffered persecution behind the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe for many years. Down through the centuries, Christians have proved themselves to be dependable. May this generation prove themselves to be dependable. So that if the Lord doesn't come back for 100 years, in 100 years' time, there'll be people gathering and meeting in this room to praise and worship him. We are called to produce this fruit, all of us, every single Christian, the fruit of faithfulness. How do we produce this fruit? Well, my friends who are gardeners, and I'm no gardener, so I said I hate gardening. Gardening takes time away from watching football and being in the cinema and being on your laptop. How can we produce this fruit? What do we do to ensure that we are producing this fruit of the Spirit in our own lives? I just want to give you a few pointers. First of all, remember how faithful God is to you. Remember how faithful God is to you. He's never let you down yet. He's never broken a promise yet. And he never will. In order to produce the fruit of faithfulness in your life, always bear in mind how faithful God has been to you. Secondly, remember how faithful Jesus Christ is to you. We've demonstrated that this morning. We've broken bread. We've drunk wine. We've remembered his body was broken. His blood was poured out. Why? Because Jesus was faithful to you. Because the Father could depend on the Son. And because he came to save us. Remember that faithfulness is an act of witness. When I keep going through the storm, my faithfulness to God, despite problems and difficulties and heartache, my faithfulness to God is an act of witness. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. I don't know. Look around you. So as people in this room that have been faithful to Jesus Christ through the hardest of times, look back over history as we've just done. Why are people staying faithful to Jesus Christ when times get tough? Because we know that Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is our Lord and Jesus is the only one we can depend on. So we want him to see that he can depend on us. And remember that we will be called to give an account. We were discussing this. This is in Hebrews. One day you will stand as a Christian before the throne of God. And you will be called to be given an account of your life as a Christian. And God will ask you the question, were you dependable? Could I depend on you? So this is how we produce the fruit. We just simply stay close to God through thick and thin. In the same way, faith... it's not accompanied by action. In the same way, faith itself is not accompanied by action, is dead, says James. Here's the challenge. To remain faithful, to remain dependable to God. What stops us producing the fruit? What stops us producing the fruit? What stops me from living the Christian life I should? What stops me from experiencing the Christian life I should? What stops me from being loyal and faithful to Jesus? Well, it might be unanswered prayers. But please consider this. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers, it causes me to be unfaithful, it causes me to drift away. But consider this. Some of God's greatest gifts are actually unanswered prayers. Some of God's greatest gifts are actually unanswered prayers. Garth Brooks is a country and western singer. We play him sometimes on Pure. He sings a song called Unanswered Prayers. And in that song, he and his wife run into his old girlfriend. And he looks at his old girlfriend and he remembers that when he was young, he used to beg God to marry that girl. Dear God, I'll marry that girl. I want to marry that girl. And I'll do anything for you if you let me marry that girl. And he never did marry her. He married somebody else. When he looked at the girl then, he says, well, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I've got a better girl than the one I was praying for. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Terrible circumstances might cause unfaithfulness. My best friend died last year. I confess I went through a period where I questioned God. He was only 57. Cancer, 14 tumours on his brain. I went through a period of unfaithfulness, I confess. 2 or 3 weeks. Lord, why? Questioning. God just came back eventually and he said, trust me. I know what I'm doing and I know why I'm doing it. Lack of a spiritual life. I'm told that some Christians in the mornings now are in the habit of reaching for their phone before they reach for their Bible. A lack of spiritual life will do it. A lack of a proper spiritual life, a lack of a proper quiet time. A lack of a proper relationship built with God. A lack of church life. Coming to God, church infrequently. Rather than being committed, rather than getting involved, rather than learning, rather than coming to the home group, rather than being at the prayer meeting. That'll do it. All of these things will cause unfaithfulness. But all of these things have got an answer. Unanswered prayers are sometimes a great blessing. Terrible circumstances are sometimes things God used to bring us closer to himself. A lack of spiritual life reminds us that we need to get closer to Jesus and I need to become more like him every day. A lack of church life will do it. But a reminder of the importance of church life. And we're going to sing this in a minute. We are called to be faithful. We are called to produce the fruit of faithfulness. How dependable am I? So my friend smirked a little bit, sat in the office of the Queen's Park Rangers manager that day. Louis Pelleau had his arm around me. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. But he was right. He was right. As a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and not just because I'm in full-time Christian work, but as an ordinary, everyday Christian, the one thing that God requires of me is faithfulness. Every day, I need to be asking myself the question, can God depend on me today? Because he might just need me today to do something. Let's pray together. And I want you in the quietness to ask yourself that question. If God were to ask me the question, can I depend on you? What's the answer? Can I depend on you to get fully involved in the church life? What's the answer? Can I depend on you to pray for Christian work? What's the answer? Can I depend on you to give sacrificially, financially, to the life of the church or to other missions? What's the answer? Can I depend on you to tell other people about me that you meet who don't know Jesus? Can I depend on you? God's asking you these questions. Only you can answer them. And the rewards for faithfulness. Hebrews 11, those who were faithful, some of them unto death, they went on to glory. They went on to great reward. There were rewards beyond measure for being faithful. Jesus was faithful for the joy that was set before him. I'm not going to pray, I'm just going to say the word amen in a moment. But God is asking us all the question, can I depend on you?